Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hello and welcome to Everything Else, the FT Culture Podcast. I'm Al.
And I'm Grizz. This week, Al's going to be speaking to the actor Matthew McFadyen about the new HBO series Succession.
And next week, you can come and see us record our first ever live podcast at the FT Weekend Festival at Kenwood House in London, where Grizz and I will be talking to comedian Phil Lang. So, Grizz, you look so happy.
Thanks, Al. You sound so surprised. Tomorrow, today when this goes out, is the first day of September, which always makes me feel very positive and kind of full of optimism and a sense of renewal.
Going back to school.
It's that back to school vibe, which I really dig.
Did you really dig school as well?
Not particularly, but for some reason, it kind of is ingrained in my mind in a good way, that September is a time of change and possibility.
So in the land of Grizz, September is spring.
Yeah, it's like the time when I kind of would like clear out my house and make resolutions, like New Year's resolutions. January is not a good time, but yeah, September is my mental spring cleaning time.
Well, excellent.
Is that not the same for you?
No, it's all about lamenting the end of the cricket season and getting depressed about going back to school. But, you know, we're balance each other out.
In all things. Al, you spoke this week to Matthew McFadyen, who I know as Mr. Darcy, but he's not just that, is he?
No, he's the star of Ripper Street, the Victorian crime drama. He was in Spooks, and I've seen him on stage opposite Stephen Mangan playing Jeeves to Mangan's Bertie Wooster. But now he is in Succession, which is a brilliant new drama on Sky Atlantic about a media mogul family. And McFadyen plays a sort of repellent prospective son-in-law to Brian Cox, who's a sort of Trumpian ogre head of the family. And he's brilliant and loathsome and hilarious and quite different to what we've seen in the past.
Okay, so this is like a big new HBO show. Do you think it's like the new Sopranos, The Wire? I haven't watched any of it yet. I'm going to come clean. Is it good?
I'm not certain that it will be The Sopranos or The Wire, but I think it's very good. But there are similarities with The Sopranos. It could easily be a mafia drama. It could, you know, it's a palace intrigue, but it just happens to be about the media. But essentially, all of these family dramas follow similar lines. Essentially, they're sort of Jacobean tragedies, I think.
Power struggle.
But yeah, I think it's brilliant. I mean, I don't think it's, who knows if it will compete with The Wire, but I've watched the whole thing. No, I would also like to point out that Matthew McFadyen is widely regarded, at least among the small number of colleagues that I speak to in the office, as a perfect man. I mean, last week, you know, we had Stephen Mangan, who you think is a perfect man. Matthew McFadyen, I think, is even more widely, universally agreed to be a perfect man. And he caused quite a stir when he came into the office.
Well, here he is, Al's perfect man.
Matthew, thank you very much for coming on the podcast.
Thank you for allowing me to be here.
So, Succession, your new HBO drama. This is, shall we say, loosely inspired by the Trump family?
That's probably not strictly true. I think it's just inspired by the media families that are about, especially in the US. There's quite a few. Mm-hmm. I think Jesse Armstrong, the creator, was interested in the big media businesses that have such an influence on us, on how we consume media. And they're sort of in the hands of single family, you know, so, and sometimes one man. So,
very healthy.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's kind of fascinating. It's rich for drama and all that. Yeah, you've got the Trumps, so you've got the Murdochs, so you've got the, I think it's the Roberts family who own Comcast. That might be wrong. And there's a family called the Sinclairs, the Smith brothers, who are, but they own an awful lot of local TV news. That's all interesting stuff.
And you shot it before 2016?
We actually had the read-through of the pilot on election day in New York. So we had this very jolly...
Buoyant, was it?
Well, it was quite a jolly read-through.
Because you knew you'd have a smash hit on your hands.
I was terrified because I was about to unleash my dreadful American accent. But it was also election night, so it was quite sort of... It was really interesting. And everyone felt quite... I don't know. I remember thinking, oh, Hillary will win, you know. I think all the clever people thought that as well, like the Frank Riches and all those people. And then there was a party that evening at Adam McKay's house, the director's house, a sort of get together to watch.
To celebrate.
Well, to sort of watch it unfold and it's sort of this very odd atmosphere. It started permeating through the party and people started leaving and checking their phones and, yeah, strange.
You have had to ditch the charm for this role. You're the famous McFadden charm.
Right.
I mean, you're lucky you didn't have a... Sorry, we almost had to hire a bodyguard to get you through.
I don't believe that.
I have colleagues who were pretending to be on their phones.
There's a reviewer in America who described Tom, my character, as a human grease stain, which I really like.
It's beautiful.
I really think it's fabulous, yeah.
Was it easy to ditch the charm?
Yes. It's a real pleasure to play somebody so... Because actually, there's moments where he's quite lovely and sympathetic and quite sweet.
To his fiancée.
Exactly, yeah. And he's pretty obsequious and sycophantic to his potential father-in-law. And Kendall, who's Shiv, his fiancée's older brother.
Could you just say what he's like?
He's
apart
a sort
from being
of...
a grease stain.
Apart from being a human grease stain. He's lots of things. He's a sort of affable dork with a real nasty streak, I'd say.
That sounds incredibly dangerous.
Yeah, yeah.
Really toxic combination.
Yeah, really toxic. But
thick and nasty.
Thick and nasty and ambitious, but also quite... I mean, he'll sort of roll over when you need him to. You know, it's a sort of... Yeah, I don't know.
Pathetic as well.
Yeah, so terrible, pathetic. He's got a fabulous surname, Wormsgans.
I know.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
Yeah.
This is, in some ways, it's a departure for you.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's fair to say you've been typecast in the past, playing sort of emotionally deep, sensitive, depressed man.
Retentive. No, I think not typecast, but because they're just fabulous parts, you know, the Darcys and the Henry Wilcoxes and those sort of things. But by the same token, I sort of thought, oh, well, it'd be nice to do... It's always nice as an actor to get... Because you know what you can do. You sort of...
But sort of brooding menace is... I mean, you have been offered parts like that.
Yeah.
And yet, by all accounts, that's not you at all. You've recently been described elsewhere as being just about the nicest actor ever invented. And also in the same article as Paddington Bear.
Well, there you are. Yeah.
How did you end up playing all these menacing,
I don't know.
Brooding men?
I don't know. I think if you get one sort of part, then often it just rolls on to, you know, so if you play a sort of taciturn, unsmiling spy, then you sort of get offered a slew of parts a bit like that. Or if you play a Mr. Darcy type, then you're that sort of for a bit. So it's good to sort of bust out of that
How can you bust out of that?
I think you can try and choose carefully if you're fortunate enough to be able to choose. I mean, because the only...
Very, very few actors can choose.
Exactly, yeah. So I'm very lucky. So I don't, you know, I don't feel typecast at all. I don't. But the only sort of power you've got in a way is to say no to certain things.
But if 99% of actors said no, they would...
Exactly,
even less than
they and it's a bit panicky. Yeah, because you can't... You've got to pay the bills and you want to keep working, you know.
But at the sort of level that you're at, which... We might say sort of A-list. Do you still have to audition? Or, I mean, do you do a screen test? I mean, do you even have to do that?
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah, you go on tape for things.
Okay.
And I think especially if it's stuff with a American accent, you know, you have to... Perhaps I'll do that less now because I've just about got away with it in this job. But often people, especially in America, the people know who you are, but you don't quite get the job because you haven't played an American before, and that's sort of a stumbling block sometimes.
Presumably it's the dream of all actors to end up in a massive HBO series that runs forever. Is that right?
I think if it's good, I mean, on the surface of it, it's a lovely thing. Also because I've got a family and it's New York and not Los Angeles or Vancouver, you know, so it's sort of, you know, it'd be nice to stay married and see my children grow up a bit.
Well,
so it's sort of perfect because I can get back for long weekends, and so it's a real treat. So I'm
speaking of being married, you're obviously married to Keely Hall, who's arguably equally famous and more famous
in all departments,
more talented than you. Are you very competitive with each other?
No.
Not about things like awards or
no.
Who's working?
No. That's a sort of lovely,
when
it would be a nightmare if we were.
When you watch something like the Durrells,
do you
give notes?
No, it's just a sort of lovely, it sounds sickening, but it's just a joy that, because you're just going, gone.
I was briefly an actor and I went out with an actress and we were very competitive.
Okay.
We broke up. do you ever feel that, you've had a great year, you've been in Howard's End and you've got Succession, you know, your CV is amazing. Do you ever think, okay, I've done it, I've made it? Do you ever relax and think, that's it now, I'm going to get parts for the rest of my life, or in fact, I might just chill on the beach?
No. I think if it all ended now, I feel like I've done, we were talking about this on holiday, we'd just been on holiday with the kids, and I felt very lucky. I do genuinely feel very lucky to be working, because there are so many who don't, and it's a very odd, difficult
roughly
business to do.
How many of your year at RADA are still working?
There were maybe 28 of us. We left in 95, and maybe 26, 27, 28, something like that. And I don't know, not more than...
Two?
I think probably more than that, but not more than seven or eight.
I think that's quite high. I think that maybe two or three from my...
Oh, really? Yeah. And then you think in another 10 years, it'll be halved again, probably, or, you know... It's
and
not one of those
who
things.
Are still acting, are they the ones that you would have picked out?
No, not necessarily, yeah. And it's not one of those businesses you think, oh, I'll just give it a whirl. And maybe some actors
just throw my life away.
Yeah.
This doomed enterprise.
So I do feel genuinely happy to be working.
But it's not just luck, though, is it? I mean,
it's a bit of luck and it's a bit of talent, and it's talent for having talent. Plenty of people are very talented, but perhaps haven't capitalize on it, maybe you're in the right way, or I don't know.
And being thick-skinned, surely, as well.
Like,
you know, not minding maybe too much about criticism, but also maybe not minding too much about being rejected for a part.
Yeah, exactly.
Because that can break an actor, can't it?
Yeah, it's horrible. Mm. It's horrible, because the criticism is not... It's you. It's the way you sit and stand and look and talk, and it's not a facet of you, in a way. You can't go and redo it.
It's intensely
personal. It's you. Yeah, yeah. As soon as you walk in the door... They sort of know. It's a weird old job.
Among the public, there's a perception of actors that they tend to be sort of jealous and paranoid.
Yeah.
And neurotic. Does that ring true with your own experience?
No more so than lawyers or journalists or any other profession,
journalists,
I would say.
Very paranoid. Particularly columnists.
I mean, and also because there's a designer friend of mine says the worst for sort of jealousy and backstabbing are directors. They never see each other working. They're always in isolation, you know?
So they're just sort of hating each other in private.
Yeah, schadenfreude.
Pouring over bad reviews.
Absolutely. It is not enough that I succeed, others. But so I think as a professional body, I would say, even though, of course, there's all kinds of nastiness and pettiness goes on, I think I like actors. I think because part of the job of being an actor is to work with other people, and if you don't do that respectfully and carefully, then people end up not employing you because it's just too boring and hard work.
Mm-hmm. Was it very difficult working with Stephen Mangan on Jeeves of Worcester?
It was difficult not to just lose control of all my bodily functions because there were some scenes we just couldn't get through without laughing.
He was the last person I interviewed.
Oh, was he?
Yeah.
We were at RADA together.
In the same year?
No, he was the year above. We did a long tour with Cheek by Jowl of Much Ado when I was 23. He's much older than me, much older.
He looks a lot older.
He does, doesn't he? Thanks for that. It's funny, that, isn't it?
Do you care about things like Oscars?
No.
Does anyone?
I think you sort of fantasize about winning. You know, everybody does. You sort of practice your speech, I think, but not truthfully. It's like sort of...
Have you practiced your speech?
No. Oh, well, not really,
It's
no.
a long anti-Trump rant. That's what most actors do at the moment.
The weird thing about awards, I've found in my very short experience, is that I was up for a BAFTA once, and it was so exciting and frightening, because you people say, oh, you're up for this thing, so you get very excited, think, oh, maybe I'll win. Some people say, you're going to win it. I think you're going to win it.
Yeah.
So you think, well, maybe I will. So you go along and you're terrified, and then you don't win it, and then you feel ridiculous for even thinking you might, and you end up going home feeling really fed up. Yeah. You feel desperately fed up after this thing you weren't going for anyway. You know?
Yeah, I remember Helena Bonham Carter being interviewed just after she didn't win an Oscar. She just said she was fed up and wanted to go home.
Yeah, you just think, oh, right. You know,
it's waste just, of time.
Yeah, it's a really odd, it's a really peculiar thing.
The Me Too movement. Were you surprised first by the Weinstein revelations and then the huge reaction that followed?
No and no, because I'd heard stories about him when I just left drama. You know, you'd hear sort of gossip about.
So all actors knew this. I mean, the idea that
you knew he was,
we didn't know.
That was the kind of
a sudden bad
stripe of the guy he was. Yeah. And then it was quite sort of reassuring how it was quite sort of wonderful.
Has it in the sort of brief time since the revelations, has anything about the atmosphere or culture within a rehearsal room or? Have you noticed any change?
No, not really. But I haven't noticed the...
You work with lovely people.
I've worked with nice people. I mean, I've been lucky. So I've never felt, oh God, this is a strange atmosphere, or someone behaving particularly badly. I've luckily avoided that.
What's next?
Well, the second series of Succession, they're talking about starting in January, but that hasn't been confirmed.
And do you think there will be a third and fourth? I mean, are they planning? I mean, have you seen plot lines?
No. So I don't know how far they've mapped it out roughly in their heads. Maybe they do a whole...
So you have to keep yourself available for...
Yeah, you're sort of... Yeah.
And then it gets ditched and you find yourself three months of sitting on a park bench.
Yeah, exactly.
But that must be rather scary. Maybe quite liberating.
Well, it's quite nice knowing... Once it's been renewed, you know you've got this job coming up. But it's sort of odd because I've had this very luxurious, lovely summer with the kids because Keely's been very, very busy.
Well, we'd love to have her on if you could ask.
Yeah, I will. I will.
If you weren't an actor, would you be an oilman?
No, I don't know what I'd be. I honestly don't know. Teacher, maybe?
I mean, as a child, you knew you wanted to be an actor.
Yeah, and I didn't really consider anything else. I didn't know what I wanted.
Really? I'm always suspicious of people who say that. And
not
I just
think,
it's not. It can't be true. Like,
surely
you wanted to be something normal, like a fireman or something.
No, I wanted to be an actor. And I thought if it doesn't work out...
Was there a moment when you felt like you heard a laugh, you know, in a school play or something like that?
Yeah, it's that. You sort of, people laugh and you go, oh, that's, you know, or people say, that was brilliant. And then you think, oh, maybe I'll be good at it. So then you sort of, you're always trying to be in the school play and then it sort of goes on from there.
Do you think you're sort of too, I'm just going to sound, do you think you're sort of too nice to be an actor?
I don't think so. I mean, I'm not, I don't feel especially, I mean, you can't do it by yourself. It's not a solitary thing. So you've got to want to be with people and play with people. I think more and more the longer I'm an actor, the less interested I am in the final product. And the joy of it is the doing of it.
Do you watch yourself?
I do, but not with the sort of...
Do you go,
No, I sort of, I feel much more relaxed about it because I think, well, it's out of my hat. There's nothing I can do about it. And the real joy of it is the doing of it.
Right.
As on set, being with people on set.
Is there one great part that you think, okay, I've got to play in this?
I'd love to have a go at Cyrano de Bergerac. I think that would be good fun. I think he's sort of heartbreaking and hilarious.
James Bond?
Bond,
has that ever come up?
Years ago,
you can
like,
reveal
like
it
12,
here.
13, 14 years ago, I met them, but it wasn't a meet. It was just a sort of, it wasn't anything serious.
But you're the perfect age for it now, aren't you? And he's retiring. I mean, come on.
It would be a weird thing, wouldn't it? I would never cast myself as James. I suppose that's the worst thing I should ever say. But
But you wouldn't have cast yourself in Succession either, surely?
No, probably not.
And you just said you wouldn't have cast yourself in Jeeves. In fact, if you were your casting director, you probably wouldn't have at all.
No, exactly, yeah.
Matthew, thank you very much for coming
on
the podcast.
You're most welcome. Thank you very much.
That's it for this week. Succession is on Sky Atlantic now.
Or you could just download all of it, like I did, and watch it in that one mammoth banquet of Succession.
And as we said, we're going to be doing this all live at the FT Weekend Festival. We'd love to meet you, so do come along. It's at Kenwood House in London next Saturday, the 8th of September.
Please let us know what you think of the podcast. We'd love to hear from you at facebook.com/everythingelsepodcast or by email everythingelse@ft.com.
Please do leave us a rating or review at Apple Podcasts.
Everything Else is produced by Chica Ayres. We've been Grizz and Al.
And our music is by Fatum.